Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. There's a word of the Lord coming today from this book, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Ushers can pass out these sheets. And when you get these sheets, please don't look now. Hold on to them. We'll get to these later, maybe. If the Lord says the same, I want you to have them, though. I want us to today receive a word to really help and encourage us and focus us in on what the Lord would have us to see. You know, life is full of experiences and full of things to see and things to do. But can you agree with me that you can't do everything? You can't go everywhere. You cannot be with everybody. You can't do everything. You must be clear about what it is you're supposed to do. So today I'm going to give you this text, and I'm going to give you the topic afterwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. This is Apostle Paul. And he said, "Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things that I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him was yes." Shout yes.
Yes.
"For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God." Our topic today is the perfecting power of your anointed assignment. Say, the perfecting power of your anointed assignment. That's a long title, but it's a title God gave me to give you and to help us understand something very, very essential for your lives. And Apostle Paul is an example of someone who had an anointed assignment. And I say anointed not just to highlight, to make assignments sound more flashy. I mean anointed in the way that God really means the word to be used. And Paul, here in this text, is giving us insight into how God was using him. That Paul said, now, the things I'm doing, I'm not planning stuff in my flesh. I'm not doing things that make me feel good. He said, I'm not one given to yes here and no there. I'm not indecisive. Paul said that, but as God is faithful, he said, even so, the yes of God was coming through his life to those he was sent to reach. Then he said here that all the promises of God are in him, in Christ. They are yes, and in him, amen. See, God's promises are designed for you to receive. Amen, church?
Amen.
The promises are not for you to wonder, Lord, do you really want me to be blessed? Should I be healed? Should I prosper? The answer is what?
Yes.
Yes. And so part of Paul's anointed assignment was to carry this message to the believers and to all people of the grace and power of God. But then he said this in verse 21. He said, now he who established us with you as Christ, that is, Paul is saying as an apostle, as a preacher, as one sent by God, he was being established with the Corinthian church and all those he was sent to help. It's an establishment. Then he said that he who anointed us is God. Say, he who anoints me is God. Now, topic again is the perfecting power of your anointed assignment. I want you to recognize you have an assignment from God, and the fact that it's from God is what makes it anointed. See, assignments are all over the place. I mean, we all have assignments from our jobs, our schools, our wives and husbands assign us to do stuff. But the anointed assignment is what God wants you to do. Amen, church? So this whole theme of God's best and our best, to really live in the best that God has for you, And to give the best that you can give back to God, you must recognize your assignment, your anointed assignment. Because what happens outside of the assignment of God, we end up just kind of wondering about, not clear about what our assignment is. And, you know, we end up just being consumed by the things of this world. For example, look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus addressed this. And he, in chapter 6 of Matthew, he addressed this lack of assignment, lack of anointed assignment directly in Matthew 6:31. Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So Jesus said, look, don't be among the folks who don't have an anointed assignment, who then go around saying, well, when do we eat? What do we eat? We go around saying, what shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we drive? Where shall we live? You know, where's the blue light special, midnight madness? You know, where's the sale this week? I mean, people who only live, it seems, for the things of this world give evidence to a lack of an assignment in their lives. Amen? Now listen, we like things. I got nice stuff. But I promise you, I'm coming at the things in life the way that Jesus said. I'm going to seek his kingdom first and his what? Righteousness. He'll add the things to me. You can have all the things without even seeking after him. The crazy part is when Christians just seek after things and not after the assignment of God, they end up frustrated. Frustrated and without, and they don't have, or by the wrong things. Attach themselves to things and people that don't help them. So put first, seek first what? So your assignment, your anointed assignment begins with following Paul's example, recognizing that God has established you and he has anointed you. Now, what does the anointing mean? Well, the anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? It's God's ability given to you to do his will, fulfill his purpose, and mainly to fulfill your assignment. God's power is for God's stuff. Amen? It's for God's assignment on your life. Now, it isn't that, recognize that this assignment isn't just for us preachers. Please hear this. We make this mistake of thinking the only people called and anointed are the preachers. Well, God's plan is for his whole church to be anointed. Amen? For every part of the body, every anointed assignment is to have that grace and power of God on it. So when you recognize, first of all, that you have an anointing that is power from God, you must first recognize the power or the anointing is there to enable you to serve his purpose. So what's my purpose? What's my assignment? I can't tell you what your assignment is, but I can tell you one thing all of us can have to agree on is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1. Look there, please. Here is this first assignment we all need to get a hold to. Say, Pastor, what's my assignment? Here's your assignment. I'm going to give you an assignment from the Bible. Before you can figure out whether I'm to be preaching or business owner or in some field of work or endeavor and career, before all that stuff is clear, those assignments come, but the first anointed assignment you have is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says here in verse 9, it says, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me ask you a question. According to this text, what are you called to do? Everybody say it, come on. Say, I'm called to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now that's anointed assignment, job one. Amen? Because even sometimes we preachers can get off into preaching and stuff and forget to fellowship with Jesus. So all of us first spend time with him. The first assignment is a fellowship. Fellowship means you talk to, you interact with, we worship, we praise God. We are in a place where we're thinking about it. Have you spent time in fellowship with Jesus this in the past 7 days? Have you? Every day? Everyone didn't say amen to that now. Because if you're looking, Lord, I want to be this and this in my life, or this is a career. Listen, as Christians, if we go and forget our first assignment, we are not seeking the kingdom, and the things that God has for us are hindered from coming to us, right? So your first anointed assignment, the assignment with the power of God upon you, is to fellowship with Christ. So please keep that straight, because God is faithful. Is that right? In other words, it's God's best. See, God's best always leads the way. Whatever we need, whatever we're lacking, I tell you, God has it for you. And yet, how many times are we not in a position of reflecting back to God the best he gives to us? Amen? Well, one thing we're doing, I believe, this year and in our lives in church, we have determined, we already know this, God is my best, he's the best, I'm going to give God my best. Because why would I do less? Why would I accept an assignment that takes me away from serving my God? Amen, church? So Paul gave us the example. And his example of his assignment and being resolute and being clear all began with him being established. He said, God has established us. He has anointed us. It all begins with God's anointing. Now listen, your anointed assignment is more than a sum of your talents, education, connections, and jobs. See, listen, we live in a world where people value talent and education, which is appropriate. People value connections and networking and all this and their job, and that's all in play. But listen to me, if we put all that stuff on the table and do not fellowship with Jesus or receive the anointing and power from God, then we're like the Gentiles. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where should I go to school? You know what I'm saying? What kind of degree am I going to get? All that stuff is out here. But as Christians, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? So that when the assignment comes from God, and by the way, the anointing assignment doesn't have to be preaching. You can be in your assignment in your career. God can use you right where you are if you yield that to him. If people somehow know that you're a light. You can't hide who you are, church. Like I told you before, you got to train people. Train folk around you. I'm a Christian. I love you. I love God. And so when the coarse joking and things are going forth, you're going to say, hey, I don't know about that. That's, you know, out of order. You can't just be quiet and train folk that you're the kind of Christian that you can say anything around. Amen? Now listen. Don't train folk that you're the evil, mean, rude Christian, you know, who, you know, I'm better than you. No, train folk around you that you need prayer, come to me. You need some counsel, come to me. You know what I'm saying? Need some help in your situations, I'll pray for you. Because the anointed assignment is going to carry the power of God everywhere you go. You believe that? Now, we're going to have to recognize this as well, that the anointing of God looks like Jesus, because Jesus is our example. Is that correct? Look at Acts chapter 38. Acts 10, 38. Acts 10, verse 37, 38. Now, Jesus is our example. We're going to see Paul here in a moment as well. Acts 10, please. I mistakenly said 38, but there's no 38, but 10. And I like what is said here. Verse 37 says, and that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Here it is, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's the clearest statement of the purpose of the anointing and an assignment that's anointed by God, you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Now, you're talking about Jesus here, but let me be so bold as to suggest you put your name here. Now, aren't we children of God?
Yeah.
Are we heirs and joint heirs with Christ?
Yeah.
Are we sharing in his life and ministry?
Yeah.
Then it's appropriate for us to place our name alongside his name. Not to replace his name, but we're with him, right? So do this with me. Let's read it again and insert your name, okay, in your city. How God anointed, what's your name? Where you from? Or Mississippi, where are you from? Louisiana, but currently Indianapolis. Say, how God anointed, what's your name? Of, with the Holy Spirit and power. Come on. With me. Now, let this, get this now. How about Jesus? See, we love to keep it out in the realm of that's what God, yeah, God does all that. We know that. But there's a part that he has given you. In fact, Jesus was clear about the fact he gave his disciples the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. So clearly, we're to understand the fact that the same anointing or a measure of it that God gave Jesus, he has given to us. And the effect of it is we go about doing good. Are you doing good?
Yeah.
What good are you doing? What good are you doing? What are you doing? Well, I go to church. Don't count. Church is necessary, but let's okay, certain givens. Church, prayer, we all need to pray. Those are good things. Now, outside of our gatherings and fellowship, how are you doing good as it relates to your assignment? Now, if you have an assignment, you can say, take the mic and say, well, here's what I'm doing by the grace of God. It's not much, but it's what I'm doing by the grace of God. Amen? Now, if you don't have an assignment that's anointed, you can say as well, let me see. I went shopping Tuesday. I went to the movie on Wednesday. Went to the ball game on Friday. You know, I mean, all you can talk about is what the Gentiles say. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? See, without the assignment, man, life can be good. Life can be enjoyable. But all this pleasure can be a prison all by itself. We can be imprisoned in pleasures and nice stuff. Come on, somebody. It can be a cage. We can be so the doing good has to extend beyond the stuff that we are enjoying. Amen? Like God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit of power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Now this was his assignment. Healing the oppressed may not be what you're doing. But beyond the doing good, which is general, there's the specific assignment on your life. Now, Christ is a Savior. We're not anybody's Savior, right? So the comparison obviously ends with the assignment, but you have an assignment, more than one assignment, that God has called you to fulfill. You believe this? Now, go back up to, let's go back, look at Paul, 1 Corinthians. In fact, Acts. Go back to Acts 26. Paul's anointed assignment. Again, everybody has an assignment in the world. But when your assignment's from God, it's anointed. Amen? You believe that? If it's from God, it's anointed. That is, he's giving you power to do it if you receive that. Acts 26. Now, here's Paul talking about his assignment. And I pray that we find ourselves in a similar situation as Paul. Now, Paul had been hauled up, man. Paul got in trouble. Paul was dragged up before authorities and had to give an account for himself. Who are you and what are you doing? Look what Paul said. At midday, O king, verse 13, Acts 26. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now stop here for a moment. Paul never hit Jesus personally. But Paul hit and struck and abused Jesus' people. And Jesus took it personal. Get a hold of that. Amen. He take it personal. See, what we do to Jesus' people, we're doing to Jesus. See, better bless Jesus' people. Better bless God's folk. Amen. Because Paul got called out for that thing. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. He claimed his church in this statement. Then it says this. Here's the assignment. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I shall reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. See, Paul said, look, God told Jesus, Jesus told Paul, I'm going to deliver you from the very people I'm going to send you back to save. Now, first step in helping people, listen, you can't help folk if you are not delivered from people. If you got to have, listen, if someone has you in this bondage of fear and approval and this kind of thing going on, and you can't get along without somebody's advice, you can't help them. Or worse, if someone has got you in a relationship and they speak mean to you and you smiling and happy, oh, yeah, don't, you know, it's Johnny, you know, and they're messing over you and you won't break away from that, you can't help them. You can't help anybody you're not free from in terms of the abuse or bad connections. You follow me? So Paul said, he proclaimed that Christ spoke to him and said that Christ would deliver him first from the Jews and Gentiles. See, Paul had to get free from his Jewish folk, from the Sanhedrin, from the legalism. He had to get free from the Gentiles and from their sin. He had to get free from the influences of people in order to really get the influence and assignment of God. You hear that? He says now, verse 18, I'm going to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they receive inheritance or forgiveness and inheritance among those who are being sanctified by faith in me. Now, Paul then said to this King Agrippa, under this high-pressure situation, I mean, he was in danger of his life being taken, and the man did not deny his assignment. I hope that if we get backed up in the corner, and someone say, if you're a Christian, I'm going to put you in jail. That you don't say, well, I used to be a Christian. I hope we don't back away under pressure. I hope we don't, you know, lower our voice and lower our desire to help people because somebody doesn't like what you got to say. That's why you must be free from people. Because when you're, see, listen, if we're too connected to people in the wrong way, we kind of mince words and we kind of tiptoe around when it's time for us to speak the truth in love. Amen, somebody? I mean, even your own wife and children. We deliver from people enough where you can be free to say what needs to be said. Sometimes we are so bound up, we think we're free because we're away from somebody, yet you won't talk to them about things that are important to talk about. You know, that's over now. I'm through with them. Yeah, but what is God else? God isn't through with them. Amen? I mean, sometimes God wants you to write a letter, pick up the phone. I can't talk to them. What if God say talk to them? What I'm going to say, oh, are you still bound up? You're not delivered from that yet? So you're delivered when you're free to talk to people, anybody about anything, and not fearing consequence. That's easy to say, hard to do, I promise you. But Paul had to get to that place where he was delivered from Jews and Gentiles. And so now God, Christ said to Paul, now go back to them, and here's your assignment, open their eyes. Open their spiritual eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. That's strong. Those are strong words, strong assignment. And teach them, preach forgiveness and inheritance. So verse 19, Paul said this. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I love that statement. He knew his anointed assignment, and he could share it, whether it was low pressure, high pressure situation, whether it was friendly people, unfriendly folk. He said, I'm not disobedient. So that one thing about, now here's the perfecting part. The statement we make in the title is the perfecting power of your assignment. Here's the perfecting part of that. that your anointed assignment is a perfecting power because, listen to this, when you have an anointed assignment, you become perfected by the instructions and the discipline required by the assignment. Now, take examples, natural example, athletics, common example, people that run track and field, always a good example, a distance runner in particular. I mean, you really can't run, a competitive mile and not train for it. Amen, church. Some of y'all are skinny. You can't run no mile. I'm skinny. You can't run a mile. You ain't fit, but you're skinny. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's skinny ain't fit. They're just skinny, all right? Now watch this, though. So, but if you say, I'm going to run this mile, now you'll be in better shape to get there than some fat person. I promise you that. But you got to perfect. The perfecting power come from the assignment. If the assignment is run the mile, then run the mini marathon. Mini marathons in May. You can't start in April. So there's a perfecting that's in, there's a discipline and there are instructions that go with an assignment. You get that? That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, I got a commission, I've got an instruction, I've got an assignment from Jesus, and I'm not disobedient. I've been obedient to that vision. And Paul, you can see, Paul was obedient. Wasn't he obedient? Thank God for Paul. Amen. Thank God for you. All of us have been obedient in one area or another. There are many of us who are parents, and we've been very good to our children, better than they realize, and we take care of them, and we have sacrificed for them time and time and time again, and would do so time and time more if necessary. That's what parents do, what moms and dads do. Amen? Spouses, you name it. We recognize that the assignment brings a discipline. It brings instructions that without those instructions, discipline, or without the assignment, you wouldn't have that. And so here's the problem. People bumping around through life, stumbling through life, no purpose, is because they have no assignment. Therefore, there's no discipline imposed upon them. This is the holiday of tomorrow, Dr. King holiday, and we recognize the man had an anointed assignment. Amen, church? At the time he lived, people say he just rabble-rouser. In fact, a lot of black folks say, man, nonviolent, you crazy? You going to bust upside your head? You going to sit there and take that? I don't think, a lot of people didn't go for that. Said, no, we're going to. So Black Panthers, we can arm it up. So Black Panthers can't, they ain't got, listen, we don't want no war with guns. And them folk in the country got guns, amen? They got bazookas and all that. We got little pistols out here. You don't want no gunfight. Take a gun to a knife fight. My point is, Dr. King was operating on another principle. It made no sense going out there in nonviolent protest, calling the nation to honor the creed, honor its own constitution. All men created equal, right? Raising the American standard to the Americans. Who were acting ridiculous, right? He raised that in their face, the very thing they say they believed in, right? So his assignment imposed instruction and discipline on him and his and those who followed him, and they suffered for that, died. Many have died in the cause of Christ. We live in a pretty free country, but people elsewhere in the world, people are dying for their witness of Christ. For being Christians, for being pastors, for being ministers, they're being persecuted and killed around this world. So recognize that there's a discipline that comes. There are instructions that God gives you. He wants you to hold on to. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Again, the Apostle Paul is giving us a great example. Get a hold of this as well. Of how the anointed assignment, it will bring instructions and a discipline that you wouldn't have any other way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, look what Paul said. Paul said this, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder, an architect, you might say, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds. For though the foundation, can anyone lay that, that which you lay, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord? So Paul said, look, I am like a master builder and architect. The assignment. And so I've laid a foundation called the church, in the church, and so that Jesus Christ is the foundation Paul laid. Now, Paul wasn't talking about all that he was and, you know, my talents, my gifts. See, Paul's assignment was anointed because Paul brought Jesus and the power of God into his assignment. So then Paul in the foundation, Paul said, take it how you build. Be careful how you build in this foundation. So the church has been laid on a foundation called Jesus. Anybody who wants to establish a church, or organize a church, or work in God's church and be a part of it, have to recognize the foundation already laid. Right? There's no new foundation being laid. There's no new, you know, doctrine coming in. If it's not in the Bible, if it's not New Testament, don't go for it. Now, this assignment is clear. The instructions are in the Word of God. Okay? So Paul gave us that, again, that example of the discipline, of the instruction. And now he can say that no other foundation can anyone lay. This is it. Jesus. No better foundation. Only him. I talked the other day, some Mormons came to my house to visit me. A couple young men. Nice young men. And asked me about things and, you know, and all that. And I began to talk with them and engage them on a couple of things. And, you know, I just asked them, you know, who is Jesus to you, you know? They said, well, he's the Savior. I said, well, who's Joseph Smith? He's our prophet. Oh, okay. What's the Book of Mormon? Well, it's a book by Joseph. I said, okay, now, what's more important, the Bible or the Book of Mormon? They said, they're equal. I went, no, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. You failed that. You missed the question. They walked into it too, boy. I said, with all due respect, Joseph Smith came along after Jesus, after Paul said no other foundation. Y'all late to the game. Y'all ain't, so you aren't in the game. Mormonism is not even in the game. It's not even part of the Bible. Joseph Smith, Book of Mormon, there's no authority in that. Not only is it not equal, it isn't even in the realm. I said, guys, this all you got? So, well, if you follow Book of Mormon, you'll be happy. I'm already happy. He said, if you follow Book of Mormon, you'll be blessed. I'm already blessed. This all you got? This all y'all got? Then I played the card about, didn't y'all say that black folk didn't have souls? Which is true. He said, well, we changed that. Yeah, I know, yeah. We found that black folk had money, then they had souls, didn't they? They came to me now. Walked up on my property, you know what I'm saying? Asking me questions, they got some answers. Now, I loved on them, you know, best I could, but I sent them on down the road. You know, Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith ain't the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The anointed assignment got to be Jesus. Not some Book of Mormon, not some Joseph Smith. Not some Buddha, not Farrakhan, not Hudson. It's only Jesus. Because Paul was clear about that in his text, wasn't he? So again, examples abound. One more example. Look at Exodus, way back, Old Testament. Exodus 31. Now we discuss Paul. We see Jesus Christ had an assignment. We understand that. But let's see, here's someone who was not famous like Paul or Jesus, who had a role no less important. And Exodus 31, and this is the season of the tabernacle of Moses being built, and God speaking to Moses about building a tabernacle. But Moses built it. But yet God used people to build with him, right? Watch this. 31st chapter of Exodus, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, for carving wood, in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ashimat, the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all I have commanded you. So when God said Moses build this tabernacle, temple later on under Solomon, God had people who were assigned to get the work done. Now, I will say this, that we're more like Bezalel than we are like Paul, for the most part. So in case you wondered if all the folk God used were famous, the answer is no. God uses people who are hardly known. Now, I've taught this before in this church, but I go places to preach sometime and teach this principle, and folk have never heard of Bezalel. Who is Bezalel? Oh, he just built the tabernacle that Moses had the assignment to do. But see, listen, if you build your house, it's because you paid for it. So I say, I built the house. You know why I say it? I paid for it. It's my money, it's my commitment. So the workers, the contractors do the work, but I built it. See, listen, where God is doing his church, he is building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. We see it? But he's using us, isn't he? So that we don't own the church because we're working here and doing the work. We don't own it because of that any more than Bezalel could claim because, you know, he was involved with the tabernacle building. Now, Moses built that because he got the assignment, took the risk to hear from God and all that. So can you see here how the anointed assignment, sometime you're a part of a larger vision, that you're a part of carrying out what's put in somebody else's heart? Amen, church? Yeah. I mean, that's as anointed as anything else. Sometimes we try to be all these little chiefs and no Indians, so to speak. You know, everybody wants to be the boss. No one wants to work, right? So I love this statement. And Bible says that, see, it would have been an assignment, except that the words here are used. God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. See, it's anointed when God fills you. If you want to do it, it's just an assignment. It's an anointed assignment. When God fills you with something to do the work, now we call that an anointed assignment. It's an anointed assignment. Amen. Amen. So all my assignments in life aren't anointed in the sense that, you know, I understand the fact that I pay taxes and, I can say, okay, I'm always anointed. I get that. But from the standpoint of the purpose of Scripture here, we're talking about things that God wants you to do. And you should separate out because of this. If we don't separate out stuff we're doing in the world that's necessary from things we do for God, we think it's all the same. We call everything anointed, everything spiritual, and it's not. Right? We got to know that, okay, I'm going down here to eat some chicken wings. That ain't spiritual. I can make it. Oh, anointed wings. No. I'm eating wings. And ain't nothing spiritual about that. I'm going to the ball game. I'm going to holler for the Colts. I'm going to boo the Colts. Whatever's going to happen, I don't know. God bless the Colts. That's all this stuff I'm doing. Now, you know what you can do? If Lord sends you down there, you don't watch the game, but you're outside passing tracks, that's different. I'm going to the game. Why? I'm a reach people for Jim. I'm going to preach the gospel on the corner in front of Lucas Oil Stadium. Oh, that's anointed there. Now what? You pay? You're going to just stand in the foyer and the concourse? I mean, We mix stuff up. Keep it separate, y'all. Because there's time when I'm on vacation, when I'm playing golf, I'm not being spiritual. I'm relaxing. I'm resting. Because the same intensity I have when I am resting and enjoying myself, when it comes time to work, I'm going to be working. I got no time for play. That's why I tell you, sometimes folks don't understand. When I'm working, I'm kind of hard to handle. I don't like no foolishness. Are we working or are we playing? What are we going to do here? It's if God has given us an assignment, why aren't we doing that assignment? To the best of our ability. Amen, church? So can you see here the spirit behind what God said? He filled these men with this ability to design the work, to do the things required for the tabernacle. And thank God they did that. Now, go back to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Go back to New Testament. Go back to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, he's our main example. Our best example. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. We've read this before. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee. So here is a very clear statement of Jesus' assignment, anointed assignment, to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, bring deliverance, sight to the blind, and so forth. All right? Now my question to you is this. In light of this example and Paul's example and Bezalel, can we hand you the microphone right now? Can you tell us at least part of what your anointed assignment is? Can we do that? It's quiet in this church. Is that like a yes or a no? Can you tell us what your anointed assignment is? I won't pass the mic, so relax. But would you say, Pastor, honestly, I'm not clear. I'm not clear on that. And that's a good answer. That's the answer you have to have. And so my response to you now is to take you back to what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First assignment was what? Remember that first assignment we gave you? Fellowship with you. Start there, okay? Read the Bible. Also, I would suggest to you this, that whatever we're doing in this local church, for example, in the bulletin, I noticed that there is a training coming up on, I think, the 20th of January for Juvenile Center Outreach. There's an orientation for volunteers. You should go to that, right? Go to that. Get that training and go in and minister, especially we need men here, right? More men, right? To go into the Juvenile Center. There are things right in the bulletin you can read. Men's fellowship coming up, men's book study, breakfast. There are things going on in the church, through the church, that you could do, and that will become the beginning for you of an anointed assignment. Listen, y'all, don't wait for God to speak out of a burning bush. I'll tell you what, I've learned this. The best way God speaks to me is in that still, small voice. You know, the voice is so small sometimes until I got to turn things off to hear it. Sometimes I got so much clutter in my life going on, so much noise in my mind. TV's going, iPod is going, you know, people talking at me all the time. I can never hear that voice. Now, I got a new car, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. All right. But listen, it has stuff in it, okay? It talks to you, all right? Tells you where you're going. If you ask, where am I? It tells you, okay, all right. I can't see for myself. Here's the point. But I noticed that I was playing music, and I had the navigation thing on, and I could barely hear it. I hear the music playing. I was playing music and worshiping and praising God, and something said, what? What did it say? It said, turn right. I thought, well, I could barely hear it. So I checked the menu and found, there is an adjustment for feedback volume. So I found it said, I pushed the button and said, louder, louder, louder. And then went back to navigation, playing the music, and the voice said, turn right, turn left. I had to turn the voice up over top of my music. I had to hear I wasn't hearing the instruction because of all the music, right? Now, I could have turned off the music, just turn off the music, but I didn't want to. The point is, you got to find ways to turn up the volume of the voices you need to hear. You've got to make sure you're listening to the instruction. Now, that's a whole different lesson for next week about the instruction. I'm talking about family next week as well, relationships. But hear me, that the instruction that God gives you It's your responsibility to hear it. Because God does not say, hey, 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 turn that down for a minute. I mean, he doesn't do that. I'm telling you. You have to say, you have to know that, okay, God wants to speak to me. I'm going to turn his voice up. I'll turn my noise down. One or the other. I got to turn something. I got to change the levels here. I tell you, I have missed opportunity. I've missed things. I tell you, I got stories. I mean, I've missed for a lack of hearing the instruction. I have made wrong turns. I've wasted money. I've lost some money, my own money. I mean, just for missing an instruction. But the anointed assignment will impose a discipline of hearing that will help us keep those instructions. Amen, church? So here, in conclusion, I'm going to say to you that you know, there are, I want to give you 10 facts that you must know about your assignment, but I can't do it today. You got to come back. I can't do it today. There's no time today, all right? So I'm sorry. But I want you to share this with you, but I can't do it now. But I want to leave this with you, that in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said this. Paul said that, consider us, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Say, I'm a steward. A steward is someone who manages the property and affairs of another. We're not the owners. We're the stewards, the managers, okay? Now, what that means is this. When you get an assignment from your God, your Father God, you're working in God's business, in God's ministry, or representing God in your workplace, in school. And the attitude is this. I never cease to recognize I'm not the owner. I'm not the controller of this thing. I'm the one who gets the instruction how to manage and handle what God gives me. So that what I want to do then, and then the whole theme is, I want to give God my best. I want to be found faithful. Say faithful. I mean, if we give you an assignment and we give you money and a budget, and you come back and the assignment's not done and the money's gone, that's a bad deal. That's bad for you. You know what I'm saying? You what? You didn't get it done? And the money been spent? And sometimes we got the grace of God, the gifts of God, the power of God. And look up, man, we have almost nothing to show for it. For a lack of faithfulness. Well, this I believe. This I know. Just like we read in the opening scripture. Here's my confidence. Here's our confidence. Here's our confidence, our faith in God. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you is Jesus. He who anointed us is God. Say it. Say, he who established me is Jesus. He who has anointed me is God. My assignment is anointed because I hear from God. I'm faithful to God. And I'm carrying through everything God said. You believe that, church? Give God some praise. Praise him for that. Come on, bless him. If you believe, you have the assignment that's anointed. Lord, thank you. Now, Father, I pray for the believers gathered today and all the friends and guests. And I ask you, Father God, to, first of all, let us be thankful. Thankful that you've given us your best, that we can clearly see in the scriptures, in the lesson today, that through the Apostle Paul and through our Lord Jesus Christ and the example of Dr. King and even in Bezalel, a man less known than all the above, we see in every instance someone who had not just an assignment, doing something for themselves, but an anointed assignment, something that you filled a person with your spirit to do, that you gave power to fulfill. And Father God, we don't want to stand outside and look in on that. Lord, make us a part of that company of people. Lord, who are filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, we don't want to be like the Gentiles who are just seeking what to eat, Lord, and what to drink and where to go and what to buy. Lord, get us out of the realm of just being consumers, Lord. Make us producers of glory by your Spirit. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that the assignment we have is anointed because you have given it to us. Or we've chosen to obey the scripture. Let every young person, Lord, every person in this room today, Lord God, let every single one of us look at our lives and ask the question, Lord, Lord, what is my sign? Fill me with your spirit that it may be an anointed sign. Let me not just treat these things as things that are average and things that are not worthy of prayer. But Lord, let me take even my job and let, Lord, let me, help me, Lord God, to go into my job and do the natural job. But Lord, give me to be a light and a witness among the people. Give me a work in the midst of my work. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you that as we have even brought a challenge out, Lord, to all the members of the church, have sent a letter, Lord, and have requested, Lord, we can all step up, Lord, into the best. Well, I believe that we'll do it.